from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
There, and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, what Mike thinks of DHBs. I think we've heard these views before, but I don't think he's changed his mind. We'll mark the week, that's what we do on Fridays. How to tax robots and how to fix the Warriors. But before any of that, Annette Kang finished up yesterday, and she probably had the best speech of them all.
Some of her rivals in the house got a mention too.
I married Ray in 2000, and I took him with me on my first assembly in Geneva. Rodney Hyde, the perk buster turned perk taker, labelled it a golden honeymoon in the Mediterranean. Ray's response was, if Rodney thought that listening to dozens of speeches on the evil of smoking were erotic, he had a very strange life indeed.
And her long-time interest in the health portfolio got detailed coverage as well.
I do have to admit to one major failure in the health portfolio, and I'm sure Hekia will relate to this. Helen Clark told me as Minister of Health, I had to talk to Parikura and convince him to lose weight. I went to Parry's office and I said, the Prime Minister said you need to lose weight, you've got to go on a diet. His response was unprintable. I said, you've got to join Weight Watchers, Parry. Another outburst of bad language. And then he said, OK, I'll join, but only if I can do it by correspondence. The impossible we did immediately. I have to say, miracles took a little longer.
Annette King, one of the best, and she'll be well remembered. And the good news is she appears on this program two more Wednesdays with Stephen Joyce, so we'll enjoy them, won't we?
Yeah, so a lot of valedictory speeches this week, but I think hers really was actually genuinely funny, which makes a nice change. I don't know if the DHB situation is funny, but Mike certainly has been following it closely.
Now, the poster child of health ineptitude is, of course, the Southern DHB, if you follow such matters. They've been a mess for years. They remain a mess today. Now, if you were watching the news on Wednesday, you might have seen the plight of several long-term patients who were getting the crappiest of service through absolutely no fault of their own, but merely because they happen to live in an area where the local health authority is useless. There was a lady who had waited 19 months for bowel surgery, another who had waited 5 years for cancer surgery, needed more, has no idea when or if it's ever going to happen. There is the promise of new facilities that seem to have shifting goalposts on dates and times of delivery. That was the apology, of course, from the chief executive. Now, I could bore you witless with all the backstory and the details, how long it's all been going on, but the detail is immaterial. The important bit is, in this particular part of the country, health-wise, it has been letting its constituents and patients down for years. The government says more money's gone in, and the opposition says not enough money, none of which, of course, solves any of the issues. The issue is the dysfunction, of which there has been much. Boards have been merged, commissioners inserted, all the while no one seemingly looking to extract the poor folks of the region and give them a service they deserve. Cancer, of course, is bad enough without its treatment being a crapshoot as to how good the treatment is. Surely we can all agree on that. And if we can all agree on that, why isn't the same thinking applicable to a variety of serious conditions? And if we all agree on that, surely an umbrella, a national approach to such services and treatments can be rolled out from a centralised Ministry of Health where the pot-shot element can be taken out of it. Once you divide something as big and complex and expensive as health by 20, you are reliant on your weakest links. The more involved, the more vulnerable you are. The Southern DHB is everything one singular national health service would avoid.
I just don't understand how... I mean, it would be one thing to elect these boards, these health boards, if people actually bothered about finding anything about these people and voting for them that way. But, I mean, if you look at the turnout for the vote in these things, I can't even... Let's mark the week instead, shall we?
Materia Turei 2. And only two because she's gone, otherwise it would have been a zero. What a bust, what a mess, what a catastrophic cluster. The naivety around the speech, the lack of contrition, the narcissism, the damage is gobsmacking. The poll, 7. Way too early to form conclusions, but man, have they set this campaign alight. And yet again, for those of us who love this stuff, cannot believe that we are here 3 years on with yet another round of Who saw that coming? Madness. The water tax, three. Not for the tax itself. Mind you, who loves more taxes? But for the fact that we don't know what it is. I mean, when they come raiding your pocket, you kind of like to know how deep they're going to ferret. The Warriors, three.
Maybe next year.
They're crap. Let's be honest, four games to go, Isaac Luke demoted, a season of fabulous disappointment. Even the Australians, and they're right, line us up as the biggest disappointments of the season. Jacob Zuma, one. A crook, survives a confidence vote, and South Africa wonders why it's a mess. Tom Walsh, nine. The guy's a rock star and nice with it, and I thought he made an excellent point. He said, this proves that big guys don't have to just play rugby. Very good point. Ian Binney, eight. Yes, the Bain review. He was in, from Canada. Remember the judge from Canada? He was here last weekend giving a serve to the government over their handling of the case, the Bain case, and he's right. We need to depoliticise the process. It's a mess. The Crusaders, nine. Would have been a 10 if they'd done it at home, but they are the franchise to aspire to. You'd hope the Warriors are taking notes. But knowing them, they're probably still looking for a pad.
Maybe next year.
North Korea, four. You know what? I'm not worried about North Korea. Guam is no more under threat than South Korea's been under for years, and basically they get on with life.
Now, I know that when Team America World Police came out and they used that song in that movie, wrote that song for that movie, it was Kim Jong-il, not Kim Jong-un, but I reckon he's probably still pretty ronery, don't you? Now, the robots, they're taking over, we know this. So what can we do about it? Let's tax them.
South Korea is believed to be the world's first country. They're going to introduce a tax on robots. Because, of course, why? Because what they fear is the more robots you have in the workplace, the fewer people you have in the workplace. The fewer people you have in the workplace, what do you have? Less tax. And it's like the driverless car. It's like the EV. Suddenly, if no one's using petrol, whoo-hoo, hold on. Where's our tax base coming from? So suddenly, all of the incentives they're offering companies to look into robot technology, they're going to take away. Because the more they look into robot technology, the more robots there are, the more robots there are, the fewer people there are, the less...
How much of the robots pay will be
precisely
taxed?
And that is the problem. For every solution you create, you suddenly find yourself with at least another problem as a direct result.
So disappointingly, I feel like the host missed my extraordinarily funny joke about robots being paid to work and then having the tax coming off their wages. And I felt like if I went on to explain it, it would make it even less funny than it already apparently was. But now that I've done that, what do you think? Let's finish up here by trying to solve, now that we've solved the robots, let's solve the Warriors.
Maybe the Warriors need a new owner. Watson's done nothing with them. Well, Graham, here's the problem with when you own something. You can do anything and anything. You're the owner. You're the ultimate you are the decider. Aren't you? And I wouldn't have argued that Watson's the problem. Maybe some of the people he's hired are the problem, potentially. Mind you, I think he's still, and last time I talked to him, he still argues that this is a big picture, long run thing. I mean, it's 22 years in now, so we're being patient.
That's a very large
It's a very long run thing. But he says, once it fires, when it fires, we're off and running.
Like if you owned a larder, for example, just because you own it doesn't therefore make it
a great car or a crap car.
I mean, it helps.
Yeah,
don't get me
wrong.
I know what you're saying. You make it look a little bit more stylish.
You can put some pipes on it.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to start any better, does it?
It's still a larder. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Speaking of cars, funnily enough, that's a beautiful segue, and many people would have thought that was pre-rehearsed, Glenn, but just let me reassure everyone, purely spontaneous.
That one right there, subtle segue that we've just pointed out.
Mazda.
Quite obviously.
Who have come to my defence with this whole EV stuff and how the world's going to EVs and how the combustion engine's never going to be made again. They said, that's rubbish. They're developing a new kind of internal combustion engine that they're going to be releasing very soon. And the combustion engine, and I quote them, will remain a component of the majority of drivetrains globally for many years to come. And with that, we rest our case.
So that was weird. I mean, obviously, drawing everybody's attention to his allegedly seamless segue was weird. But what's even more weird is that Mazda seem to be proud of the fact that they aren't capable of the same technological advances that all the other car makers are. And, yeah, you own that, Mazda. Zoom, zoom. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for another week. I'll see you back here on Monday. I'm going off to buy some more wrapping paper.